ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम। इट इज वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट टू डिसर्न व्हाट वन्स अल्टीमेट गोल इज इन लाइफ। हैविंग analyzed all the pursuits, one discovers ultimately what one seeks is everlasting peace, that is happiness, not the time bound pleasure, but everlasting peace, which is otherwise called happiness, which is otherwise called freedom from unhappiness, vimokshaha. And that everlasting peace or happiness is something to be discovered, known. It is not to be attained. This is another fact which we understand with the help of the Shastram. All that you want is everlasting peace, and that everlasting peace, happiness, is something to be discovered and known. It is not to be reached or attained. It is already there, because what is timeless and eternal should be already there. Anything which has a beginning will definitely have an end. Therefore, if what I seek is everlasting happiness, then it should not have beginning. It must already be there. Therefore, it's already there. But that happiness is in fact nothing but limitlessness. Please understand, happiness is not a state of mind, it is limitlessness. They are one and the same, synonyms. Okay? Happiness and limitlessness, these two words are synonyms, which you cannot find in dictionary. Please understand, happiness, no, everlasting peace, means happiness. Happiness means sorrowlessness. Sorrowlessness means what? Limitlessness. Okay, infinitude. Therefore, this limitlessness is something to be understood. Therefore, understanding limitlessness is understanding happiness. But to understand limitlessness, discover limitlessness, one needs to know what the reality is. This is another fact revealed by the Shastram. If what you are seeking is happiness, that happiness is a synonym of the word limitlessness, and it is not to be attained, and this happiness, limitlessness, is available for understanding only as the nature of the reality. Therefore, knowledge of the reality is the knowledge of what happiness is. They are not two different things. Understand? First we say, knowledge of the reality is the means, and happiness is the freedom from sorrow, the mokshaha, the happiness is the ultimate end to be accomplished through the means of the knowledge of reality. Thereafter we say the means and the end are identical. Means and the end are one and the same. Why? Knowledge of the reality is knowledge of what the limitlessness is. Knowledge of what happiness is. Is it clear? This is very, very important. First we started like this. As what? Mokshaha is the end. Knowledge of the reality is the means. And now we say, knowledge of the reality and knowledge of what happiness is one and the same. Moksha is one and the same. Therefore, means and the end are identical. And the next fact Shastram says is, if this reality, okay, to discover what happiness is, to discover what limitlessness is, as the very nature of the reality, and to discover what the reality is, where is the reality available for recognition? Reality of what? Reality of the entire cosmos. like this entire cosmos of varieties of things, okay, has one reality, okay, and that reality is available for, where is it available for understanding? How is it available? Understand? It's available for recognition only as the meaning of the word I, as the self. Reality of everything is the self of everything. Like if I say water is the reality of the ocean and water is the reality of the wave, water is the reality of every wave, therefore water is the self of all the waves, every wave and the entire ocean. Therefore here we say the reality of the entire universe is the self of every being here, is the self of entire universe, and therefore it is available for recognition only as one's own self, as the meaning of the word I. This is another fact revealed by the Shastram. Is it clear now? Systematic, but remember, I am reminding every week, I am repeating. Don't think I am repeating simply. Because it has to be very, very clear. So, if it is available for recognition only as the meaning of the word I, that means what? If we say, I do not know what happiness is because I do not know what the reality is. If I say, I do not know what the reality is, and the Shastra says, the reality is available for recognition as the very self, as the meaning of the word I, what does it imply? I do not know the meaning of the word I. Understand? Therefore, with the help of the Shastram, we come to know of our ignorance of the self. It's a big thing. Knowledge of one's ignorance. Ariyamai patri arivu. That's a big thing. Knowledge of one's ignorance. Thereafter, okay, I do not know the meaning of the word I. That means I do not know what I am. Thereafter, I do not know what I am. I do not know that I do not know what I am. Now I know that I do not know what I am. Now I know I can know what I am. Okay? Why I have to know what I am? Because knowing what I am is knowing the meaning, the substance of the substantive I, which means knowing the self of every other being, which means knowing the reality of the entire universe, which means knowing the nature of the reality, which means knowing what limitlessness is, which means knowing what happiness is. Is it clear? Therefore, I need to know. And this is where Shastram helps us to know what is the meaning of the word I. And I said, Shastram does not directly tell you what you are, what is the meaning of the word I. It tells us first what you are not, what the I is not. Okay, what I am not. So, any other than the self, other than the meaning of the word I, everything else other than the meaning of the word I is called anatma. The self or the meaning of the word I is equal to atma. Therefore, anything other than the meaning of the word I or the self, known by the term atma, is what? Anatma. So the Shastram helps us understand what anatma is first. Thereby it takes us to atma. And how does it to help us understand? I means the self. I means the subject, the knower. If I is the subject, if I am the subject, everything else known to me is an object of knowledge. Therefore, object of knowledge is never mistaken for the subject, the knower. The known object of knowledge is never mistaken for the knower, the subject, with reference to objects external to the body. Therefore, and the Shastram helps us understand how this gross physical body, which is mistaken for the self, because we always think, I am the body. Nothing wrong, body is also me, understand? But I am not only the body. Therefore, first, the body is also an object of knowledge, because I know my body, and we know every part of the body, and the entire body can be indicated by the pronoun this. Therefore, it is an object of knowledge, and this gross physical body, because it is known to me, known to others also, understand? It is an object of knowledge. Therefore, what? Atma, the self, the meaning of the word I, is not the body. I should not say I am not the body, not for talking out, it's for understanding. People attend few Vedanta classes and they'll start talking, I am not the body. I'm not the body. I'm not going. Body is going. It's all rubbish. Okay? We should not be talking like that. We should always remember relatively we are bodies. Absolutely we are not the bodies. So it's not for talking like that, making some fun, to have some fun like that. It's belittling Vedantic study. Understand? It's only for understanding. Actually, there's a pronoun, I, the first person singular pronoun, I, and all of us know that very well. And there is a knower also. There is a subject. Okay? That means, and there is an object of knowledge. The subject of knowledge. That means, anything known is an object of knowledge. But this physical body is also known, and therefore it's an object of knowledge. Therefore it is what? Subject, the self, the subject, the knower is not the known physical body. Therefore what now? This gross body, which is perceptible for all of us, not only to me, my physical body is not perceptible only to me, it is perceptible for all of us. Therefore, it is what? It is also an object of knowledge. Therefore, the first negation. Okay? Upanishad says, neti neti vachanaihi, na, na, no, atma is not this. Okay? Not this, not this, not this, not this, not this, not this also. Okay? It has to negate like that. It's called a na. Na means not. Therefore, okay? This is called negation method. So it negates. So first, what is negated? The gross negation is the negation of the gross body as the non-self, anatma. Thereafter, we saw last class how we enter into, the next is sukshma shariram, this is thula shariram, next is sukshma shariram, and the sukshma shariram consists of 16 factors, I said, and we negated all the 16 factors one after the other, as what? First 5 sense organs, when I said sense organs, I mean the subtle powers, not the gross physical parts. When I say I don't mean this gross physical part. When I say ears, I don't mean the gross physical part. I mean the subtle powers. I told the difference between the gross physical part and the power in that gross physical part. Okay? The physical part of the sense organ is called golakam, and the golakam is part of the gross body, but the sense power, the subtle power in the golakam is called indriyam, shakti, parkum shakti, ketkum shakti, nuharum shakti. சக்தி, சுவைக்கும் சக்தி, தோலின் சக்தி, சக்தி இஸ் நாட் ஜஸ்ட் த பவர் விச் இஸ் வெரி சட்டில். ஓகே, அந்த நோஸ் இஸ் கிராஸ், திஸ் இஸ் கோலகம். வென் இஸ் அ பிக் நோஸ், திஸ் இஸ் கோலகம். பட் ஹியர் தி பவர் ஆஃப் ஸ்மெல்லிங் இஸ் வாட் தி இந்திரியம். இந்திரியம் இஸ் இம்பர்செப்டபிள், கோலகம் இஸ் பெர்செப்டபிள். தி கோலகம் பிலாங்ஸ் டு தி கிராஸ் பாடி. And this differentiation of Golakam and Indriyam is not mentioned in other languages. Only in Sanskritam we have. I don't know about other languages much, but English, you all know that. Golakam means the grass part. Okay, the physical part which is part of the grass body. Like ears, ear lobes and ear drum is what? Part of physical part which is part of the gross body. But indriyam means the subtle power that is imperceptible. See, kan viliyai parkalam. You can see the eyeball. You can see the, okay, the white part of the eye. You can see the eyelids. Even you can even feel these here. Okay, you can even feel this part. But what you cannot see is the seeing power. Understand? Seeing power. So see, the power is called indriyam or indriya shakti. But it is called golakam. So here, subtle, why is it subtle? Imperceptible. Pulangalukku pulanahadudu. You know, that which cannot be perceived is the subtle. Through the senses. Okay, it is perceived, it is available for mind perception. Because you know your seeing power, you know your ears can hear or not, you know whether your nose can smell or not, you know whether your tongue can taste or not. Therefore, the subtle powers are known, these five sense powers, okay, from the pancha jnana indriyani. Then I said, five pancha karma indriyani, five organs of actions. Do you remember the names? Hands, legs, organ of speech, and excretory organ, and reproductory organ. And these five organs are also physical parts are different. You see, the hands are all physical parts, physical body. But the power in the hands, the power of action in the legs, the power of action in the reproductory organ, the power of action in the excretory organ, the power of action in the organ of speech. Those powers we cannot see. Understand? We cannot perceive. So there are also five organs of actions, pancha karma indriyani. Thereafter we saw pancha pranaha, five physiological functions. One vital air doing five different functions in the body. Remember that? I told you last class. It's a repetition only. Doesn't matter. And so the air governing, the vital air governing the respiratory system, the vital air governing the circulatory system, the vital air governing or determining the digestive system, and the vital air determining the excretory system, and the vital air governing the reversing system. There are the five physiological systems governed by same vital air, but because of the difference in functions, five different functional names are given to the same vayu. So, five physiological functions. We know all these functions happening, but we don't see them through physical eyes. That's why they're imperceptible. Understand? Subtle. But we know them happening. If you are not able to breathe effortlessly, we can't sit and listen like this. Things are off, continuously the breathing is taking place. Inhalation, exhalation continuously is taking place. But you can't see through physical eyes. Come on, how it goes and comes out like that. Before this subtle. So the five physiological functions. Remember that? What are the functions? So we say pranaha takes care of the respiratory system. Inhalation of oxygen, exhalation of carbon dioxide is constantly happening. This is the first function of respiration. Then second function is having after that the cleansed clean blood not to be circulated to all over the body is taken care of by the prana called vyanaha. Pranaha, this is vyanaha. Then we say, actually apanaha I should have said. Apanaha is a second vayu which takes care of the all the unwanted in the body has to be pushed out. That is taken care of by the excretory system. Okay, apanaha in fact is the governs the excretory system. Pranaha, apanaha. Anything unwanted, see through the, in fact, apana takes care of what? The sweat, the urine, urea, all the unwanted, okay? Even the, sometimes the water, anything unwanted in the body, dirt in the body, the digestive stuff in the body, okay, to be pushed out, the apana does the job, takes care of the excretory function. Functional excretion. Then we say vyanaha takes care of the circulation of the blood, the clean blood, cleansed blood. Now it's the circulation. The vyanaha and the samanaha, in fact, the food we eat, the food is what? Energy is consumed in the form of food, but the food eaten should be converted into energy for which it has to be digested. Therefore, digestion, the system of digestion, the function of digestion, because of which the food is converted into the biological, bioenergy. Okay? That energy is what? Samanaha. Samanaha. That is taken away by Samanaha. Then I said, there's one thing called Udanaha. This Udanaha is not very active always, but is very alert. It's called reversing system or retentive system. What does the Udana do? You know, it be remaining quiet there. Any system, any problem anywhere in the body for emergency, like ambulance is sent for emergency, you know. Okay, like that, any problem anywhere in the body, Udana suddenly jumps and takes care of that disorder in the function, it helps. That's the function of Udana. It does any disorder, any function, anywhere, any disorder, Udana, you know, activates that, corrects the disorder, and it helps. Takes care of the disorder in the function, in the body, and it does the job. And Udana also does one thing. Anything unwanted or anything which is very dangerous to the body goes in, immediately Udana jumps and pushes it out. Okay? It's supposed to vomiting and diarrhea, etc. are mainly taken care of by what? Udanaha. See, there is excretory, there is a vayu, okay? There is this apanaha takes care of excretion. But sometimes, okay, anything, suddenly it has to push out. It needs a lot of thing. The regularly, systematically doing this, okay, all the excretory job is taken care of by the apanaha. But occasionally, when they are not well, something food poison, something happens, something unwanted has gone in, then apana cannot manage, okay. Then udana jumps in and helps. Come on, vomit. Vomiting is always continuously vomiting, continuous diarrhea. Understand? All these things are taken care of by the Udana. Why? To maintain the health of the body. And this Udana is involved only whenever there's any disorder in the function, any function of any of these systems, and it helps there. That is the reversing system. And Udana also does one thing. When the physical, this prana has to leave the body, gross body, when the paravda ends, the death has to take place, then also Udana will not allow the food, intake of food, any even intravenous food, it will try to push it out. Okay, why? All the systems have to stop. As long as there is energy, all the systems will be functioning, all the functions will be going on. The functions are going on, the subtle body cannot leave the gross body, so the person cannot die. Understand? When the paravda gets over, I tell you, the udana stops, you know, retaliates. It pushes off the any food intake. Why? Only the food intake stops, then what will happen? All the systems will die slowly. They'll stop functioning because of the lack of energy. When they stop functioning, then that's all. They can't do it anymore. They have to quit. At the time of death also, Udana functions. And Udana functions whenever we are not well, we are sick, anything unwanted has to be thrown out, okay, continuously, and it Udana takes over that function of cleansing. Understand? That is why it's called reversing system. It reverses the order. This is Udanaha. So, five physiological functions. These functions are all taking place. We know them all very well. Therefore, five physiological functions are objects of knowledge. Five sense powers of objects of knowledge. Five powers of organs of action also objects of knowledge. All the 15 are known to us. Therefore, they are also what? Objects of knowledge are not, subject is not the objects of knowledge. Therefore, they are also what? Anatma. And we saw the antahkaranam, which is also part of the subtle body. Antahkaranam is a beautiful word in Sanskritam for the inner organ, internal organ, mind. Manaha. And I told you, mind is nothing but varieties of thoughts. And here, all the thoughts are categorized into four groups as manaha, chittam, buddhihi and ahankaraha. Manaha means emotional faculty or doubting faculty. And manaha, emotional faculty, when I say all the ignorance, doubt, fear, anger, desire, okay, hatred, jealousy, all these emotions are the varieties of thoughts. They constitute what? Manaha, mind. Then buddhihi means reasoning, knowing faculty is the buddhihi. And then knowledge, understanding, perception, cognition, clarity, cheerfulness, enthusiasm, all different types of, different states of mind, they constitute the buddhihi, the intellect. Same, antahkaranam has all these types of thoughts. All these varieties of thoughts together, constantly, continuously, there is a thought flow. The thoughts keep on flowing. And all these thoughts put together is what? Antahkaranam. And one more thing we saw, chittam. Chittam is nothing but a memory, our remembrance. Our forgetfulness also is remembered, isn't it? Therefore, chittam means memory. All that we have been experiencing and which remain stored and imprinted and collected in the mind and which gets displayed, okay, replayed. We can think of what happened last week, what happened on September 11th, what happened on some month, 7th of 2005 in London. We can remember a lot of stuff, lot of things. Okay, what happened elsewhere, what, like all these things we remember here. Many things we remember very well. Some things we remember, I remember, but I don't remember exactly what happened, but I remember something happened. Like that we remember. That's also what? Nothing but the thought. That is chittam. Then we have ahankaraha. I told you, ahankaraha means any notion, opinion one has about oneself is ahankaraha. How can you have any notion about yourself if you do not know you are first? I can say, I am fat, I am short, I am tall, I am thin, I am dark, I am intelligent, I am wise, I am fool, I am, not intelligent, I am not clever, I am innocent. I can say anything, any notion I can have about oneself, I can have about myself. When? Only when? Only I can. So I can't say tall, fat. All these words should go with what? I am. Understand? Therefore, I am the knowledge. Is very, very important. First, there must be awareness that you are. There must be knowledge that you are. Only then any notion you can have about yourself. Naan irikkiren endra arivu irunda allava kooda naan yaar ennaangiradha ennai patri karuthe serthuk mudiyum. This is what I'm saying. Therefore, the knowledge that I am and plus any notion I have about myself is all nothing but thought. It's called ahankaraha. Basically, the knowledge that I am itself is what? Ahankara. And after that, if whatever you add with I am is also what? Ahankara. Please understand, I am here. When you say, where are you? You will say, I am here. I am, when you say, that is knowledge that you are. Understand? That is ahankara. And anything you add to that I am is also what? That knowledge that I am is ahankara. Anything added to that I am is also what? Notion one has about oneself. That is also what? Ahankara. Is it clear? So these are all thoughts, varieties of thoughts. I told you last class very well, all these thoughts are known to us. Therefore, antahkaranam also is known to me. Therefore, mind also, antahkaranam also is an object of knowledge. Therefore, mind also is anatma. Therefore, atma, the self, the knower, the subject, the meaning of the word I is not the mind, known mind, known pranas, known ahankara, known chittam, memory, known intellect, known mind, known physiological functions, known sense organs, known organs of actions. Atma is not the known physical body. Atma is not any of this. Therefore, we have to understand here, the mind, the subtle body and the gross body, both these bodies are what now? Anatma. Anatma. Atma is not this. And later on I said, not only this karma, sthula shairam and sukshma shariram, these are only products. This physical body, this subtle body must have existed even before it was born. Understand? From out of nothing, something cannot come into being. Whenever we see any beautiful small plant, it must have existed in the form of a bulb before it was planted here. And from the bulb, the sprout started sprouting. And the leaves came out and now we have a beautiful plant here. Therefore, it must have existed all these leaves were not there before, this plant was not there before, but it was only small bulb. Then you did not see the plant. Where was this green color? Where was the shape of these leaves? Where was all the number of leaves? Understand, this thick leaf, where was it? All of them were in the small bulb before. So bulb is what? The causal body of the this plant. Similarly, okay, bulb means what? I mean the seed of this particular thing. Similarly, any plant has its own seed. So seed is the causal body of the tree. Small tomato seed, one small seed, my God, tomato seed, a very small seed. We throw it out, from one seed, one plant comes out. And that plant has so many leaves, so many flowers, and afterwards we see bunches and bunches of small tomatoes. It comes out. Further, any plant for that matter, any big tree also is from the smallest seed. Have you seen how the attimaram, the fig tree, not the big tree, big fig I'm saying, the small fig we used to have in villages, big trees. Now also arasamaram, the pupal tree, big huge trees, big trunks. Have you seen the seed of it? It's much smaller than the mustard seed. Amazing that is. The fruit will be like this, and the fruit will be full of seeds. And the seed is such a small, tiny dot-like. It is much smaller than the mustard seed. On one seed, when it falls, it starts sprouting. And my God, one fruit can produce hundreds of plants. You know that. Of course, many plants will do different thing, but one small. The seed has such a big, huge tree. So seed is the causal body of the tree. So everything has its own causal form. Everything, every being we see in this universe has its own causal form, causal body. Karana shariram, karana dehaha. Like that, this gross body and this subtle body, the imperceptible, invisible subtle body, perceptible, tangible gross body, both have their what? Seed body, okay? Causal body. And Vishastram says, causal body also is what? Is known by the word avidya. Causal body, we give a name, technical term. Avidya literally means ignorance, and the technical, Vedantic technical term used, okay, to mean the causal body is avidya. Karana shariram, like sukshma shariram, sthula shariram, gross body, sukshma shariram, subtle body, and karana shariram, causal body. What is the name of the causal body? Avidya. Avidya literally means ignorance. Technically it means karana shariram, causal body. And you don't need to worry about how the karana shariram, that we'll understand later on very clearly. But I tell you, karana shariram also is an object of knowledge. How this gross body is an object of knowledge, subtle body is an object of knowledge, karana shariram also is an object of knowledge. Both cause and the effect are objects of knowledge. How to understand causal body is also an object of knowledge. Okay? Atma, the meaning of the word I, the subject, the knower, is different from the causal body also. Atma is not the causal body. Atma is not the காரண சரீரம், ஆத்மா இஸ் நாட் தி சூக்ஷ்ம சரீரம், ஆத்மா இஸ் நாட் தி ஸ்தூல சரீரம், ஆத்மா இஸ் நன் ஆஃப் தி த்ரீ பாடிஸ், நன் ஆஃப் தி த்ரீ பாடிஸ், நைதர் தி காஸ் நார் தி இஃபெக்ட். ஆத்மா இஸ் நைதர் தி காஸ் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் நார் தி இஃபெக்ட். அண்ட் வி ஹாவ் டு சே தி காசல் பாடி, தி சட்டில் பாடி அண்ட் தி கிராஸ் பாடி, ஆல் தி த்ரீ பாடிஸ் ஆர் நத்திங் பட் மெட்டீரியல் ப்ராடக்ட், ஓகே, ப்ராடக்ட் ஆஃப் தி மேட்டர். That much you should understand. So, Atma, the meaning of the word I, has not, is not the matter. In between, I have to interfere and tell you one thing, why Swaminiji is repeating what has been said in the previous class, again she is repeating it. In traditional teaching, சாம்பிரதாயிக சிக்ஷனம், திஸ் இஸ் தி ஸ்டைல் வி ஃபாலோ. வை ஐ டோன்ட் நோ வெதர் ஐ டோல்ட் யூ ஹியர் பிஃபோர் ஆர் நாட், வி ஃபாலோ ஒன் மெனி மெத்தட்ஸ் ஆஃப் டீச்சிங், ஓகே, மெத்தட் ஆஃப் அன்போல்ட்மெண்ட் இஸ் டிஃபரெண்ட் ஃப்ரம் மெத்தட்ஸ் யூஸ்ட் இன் டீச்சிங், ஓகே. சிக்ஷண பத்தி, தட் இஸ் ஒன் ஆஃப் தி மெத்தட்ஸ் இஸ் சிம்ஹ அவலோகன நியாயக. சிம்ஹ அவலோகன நியாயக மீன்ஸ் சிம்ஹா மீன் மெத்தட் யூஸ்ட் இன் டீச்சிங். சிம்ஹா மீன்ஸ் லயன் அண்ட் அவலோகன மீன்ஸ் லுக்கிங் அரவுண்ட், சீயிங் அரவுண்ட், ஓகே. லோகனம் மீன்ஸ் சிம்பிளி சீயிங், அவலோகனம் மீன்ஸ் வாட், லுக்கிங் அரவுண்ட், அவலோகனம், கேர்ஃபுல்லி லுக்கிங் அட் திங்ஸ், கேர்ஃபுல்லி அப்சர்விங் இஸ் வாட் அவலோகனம். அண்ட் சிம்ஹ அவலோகன நியாயக மீன்ஸ் இன் டீச்சிங் வி ஃபாலோ திஸ் மெத்தட். வாட் டஸ் இட் மீன் இன் ஃபாரஸ்ட் வென் தி லயன் வாக்ஸ், ஓகே, லயன் இஸ் அ வெரி வெரி மெஜஸ்டிக், இட் நெவர் வாக்ஸ் இங் லைக் திஸ், இட் ஆல்வேஸ் வாக்ஸ் லைக் திஸ் majestically, and it always walks very carefully, and a few steps it walks straight like this and stops without turning the whole body. It will just turn its head and look around, turn, it will turn and see whether the hunter is following first, then it will turn and see whether any food is available, deer. Twice it look, turn and look at it like this. We cannot go to the forest, nor do we have the guts to watch the lion, how the lion stands and watches. We won't even stand in. And our rishis are very, very clever people, okay? They have noticed this. What does the lion do? Lion walks, I'm only just presenting as if I have seen the lion doing it. I never saw a lion. I've seen lion only in the circus when I was a child. And the zoo, okay? I never saw the lion in the forest. I wish I saw, but I never. But they say the lion always walks, and nowadays we see on geographical channel, okay? Our national geographical channel in India we watch. In here also you can watch. So what I'm saying, we watch those things. It walks and stands and turns and sees. Then again it will walk further. Again it will stop and it will turn and see. Again it will walk further, it will turn and see. Like that, we also, what we do, we are proceeding in our class. Every time we proceed, we stop. We always see what has been said before. If it is everyday class also, I have to do this. We are meeting only once in a week. I should make myself clear that we all of us remember what was said in the previous class. Last Thursday, after 1 week's time, we are meeting. Understand? And then we should remember It's called, in English we say reviewing, review. Why should we review? Because we should be able to connect what we studied here, what is being said in the present. Okay, present, in the present, this class. So what was said before should have the connection. If we do not know the connection between what was said earlier, what is being presented now, then the clarity won't be there. It will be vague otherwise. You can't connect means it will be very vague. And the study is for clarity, not to maintain our vagueness. Therefore, reviewing is very important. And the review, the method of reviewing is mentioned by the word Simha Avalokana Nyayaha. That is why always I repeat first half of the class. I have to repeat what has been said before so that you will remember. I have to help you recollect what you have already grasped and understood, not to make you feel bored. I know sometimes you may feel little insipid with things, repetition of things, doesn't matter. What happens, you will never forget. When things are repeated, you will remember very well, you will never forget. This is the very, very basic class we are doing now and where things become very clear. Okay? That is why I am repeating.
Sorry, what is the meaning of the word Nyayaha? You said Simha Avalokana.
Simha Avalokana Nyaya means the method of teaching. That's
right.
Literally, you can say analogy, but here not analogy or anything, that we are using this. See, the more inner leisure you have, the more relaxed you are, the more you can observe, the more you can observe, the more you can learn. Understand? That's a trick. The more you learn, the more the buddhi becomes sharp. Intellect becomes sharp. That's all. Because they are all quiet people. The more you are tensed, the more you observe, the less you observe, hardly you learn anything, mind becomes dull. Not only we forget things. I tell you, the forgetfulness is why we develop forgetfulness. The more and more and more we become preoccupied and worried and tensed and then things. That's why as we grow older and older, the more problems we store in the mind, more we tend to forget things. It's a simple reason. That is why from the childhood they teach, come on, do japam and all those things. Keep yourself, maintain your calmness so that you'll be able to always be alert. You won't forget. Now we see many people forget senile. The people become how? They become senile. Forget things. All those things pop, develop. No, we develop as we grow older. But this is all because of our, we don't maintain. That is why prayer, worship, not mechanically going to temple running and then getting tense. Not like that. Regularly, with the meaning, meaningfully, knowing what I am doing anything, any puja, any prayer, any japam, why I am doing, what I am doing, that not mechanically doing. Prayer also is mechanical nowadays. People do go into temples, mechanical action. Rush. Stand a queue. Get prasadam. Rush. No. Everything you do it. Very important. Anyway. So here, what I want to say is karana shariram. Okay. Is also what?
Anatma.
Is also object of knowledge. And last class, subject and object we have analyzed. Thereafter we have distinguished the subject Atma from the Anatma. How? Now we know Atma is not the Karna Shariram, Sukshma Shariram and Sthula Shariram. We have distinguished. Atma is different from all these three bodies which are the products of matter. Atma has nothing to do with the matter. Understand? Atma is different from the material products, three bodies. Then we analyzed one more thing, avasthatrayam. Okay, having done the, having used the drit drishya viveka prakriya, we also used avastha traya prakriya, three states of experience. We analyzed that, and in we knew what is waking state, what is dream state, what is deep sleep state. In waking state, knowledge is total. How total means what? I know I am, I know the universe is. Mind is fully active. Understand? My mind is fully active. The perception takes place. Mind is behind the senses. Senses perceive all the five different objects. This vast universe is known in five different forms as five different objects through perception in waking state. Therefore, mind keeps on collecting lot of data through the five forms of perceptions. And this is waking state. And in waking state, everything is known. The knowledge that I am being there is known. The knowledge that the universe is known. Perception takes place. Perception taking place, no, is known. Everything is known. Therefore, there is an experience of the waking state. Waking state is known, and there is something called waking state experience. I experience, no, different objects. And similarly, dream state also is experienced. How? In dream state, mind is half awake, half asleep. And that's why the external world is not perceived, but the mind alone, the subtle universe is perceived. It is also thought. What is this mind? Whatever experiences we have, the mental impressions which we collect through the, you know, perception during the waking state, what all we see, what all we hear, what all we smell, what all experiences we have during the waking state, and those thoughts remain, some of the experiences, waking state experiences, get imprinted and they remain, impressed in the mind. We have mental impressions. And those mental impressions get mixed up, and there is something is visualized, replaying of the changed, the perceptions, collected perceptions of the waking state is what again seen. It is what is dream, and nothing but thought. And dream also is known, experienced. There is an experience of the dream. That is why we are able to say next day about the dream, there is an experience. When you say waking state is experienced, dream state is experienced, there is an experience of these two states means there is an experiencer. Without the experiencer, no experience is possible. Without the experience, you cannot say something has been experienced. Understand? Therefore, there is the knower, the experiencer in waking state. There is a knower and the experiencer in the dream state. Similarly, there is something called a deep sleep state wherein nothing is known. There is no knowledge. When I say nothing is known, there is only ignorance. There is no knowledge. There is no knowledge means what is in deep sleep state, nothing is experienced, nothing is known, nothing being experienced is experienced because there is no knowledge. There is no, what knowledge is not there? No knowledge is there. I am, the knowledge is not there. The world is, the knowledge is not there. What is there then? This total ignorance. In deep sleep state, there is total ignorance. And the total ignorance being there in deep sleep state, the knowledge being not there in deep sleep state, is experienced or not? experienced. But when can you talk about the experience? When you wake up from sleep, you can say, I experienced nothing. I did not know anything. There was no knowledge. There was only total ignorance. There is no knowledge that I was. There is no knowledge that the universe was. உலகம் இருந்ததுங்கிறது அறிவு எனக்கு ஒண்ணுமே தெரியல. நான் இருந்தேங்கிறதே தெரியல. How can you say that? Understand? Therefore, deep sleep state also is, total ignorance also is experienced. Therefore, there is an experiencer in the deep sleep state. The knowledge that the universe is being not there is the total ignorance. உலகம் இருக்கிறது என்கின்ற அறிவு இல்லாமையே total ignorance is known. Therefore, all the three states of experience, we said the word experience we are using because it is experienced. There is an experiencer in all the three states of experience. One and the same experiencer. And that experienced, three states of experience are what? Objects of knowledge. And the subject of knowledge, subject of the experiencer, the subject because of the presence of which all these experiences are possible is different, okay? The Atma, the self, the meaning of the word I, and we said pure consciousness. And I said, how does the consciousness know? If you say consciousness does not need to do any action to know, consciousness is, everything comes to light, everything becomes known. Mind is known. Therefore, knowing is the swarupam of consciousness, I said. Knowing is the swarupam of consciousness. Consciousness is the, now we say, the self. Therefore, what we have already understood, the meaning of the word I is equal to what? Consciousness, pure consciousness. Pure consciousness is the Atma. Other than consciousness, everything else is Anatma. Now we can say, already what we saw, the reality of the entire universe is available for recognition as the knower, experiencer, as the I, meaning of the word I, which is actually the Atma, is pure consciousness. Means we can say now the same consciousness, meaning of the word I, the Atma, is the self. Okay, is the self, myself, yourself, and the self of every being, self of everything, the reality of the entire jagat. Is it okay? Now the question will come. Okay, if I, consciousness, the meaning of the word I, that means how many consciousnesses are there? Every, okay, one consciousness, I am consciousness, you are consciousness, you are consciousness. This doubt comes. And we say here, the very word plural, using the plural form itself is wrong. We can never say consciousnesses. There is only consciousness. And this consciousness, knowing, is the swarupam. I said last class. And I tell you, indivisibility is its swarupam. Okay? It is an indivisible, partless whole. when it look at the indivisible, partless whole. This consciousness is one indivisible, partless whole. When we look from the standpoint of the wave, when we stand on the seashore, when we start counting the waves, okay, from the standpoint of the wave, it looks how? One wave is different from the other wave. From the standpoint of the reality, the water, the H2O, we cannot count. There is no part. Water has no parts. Understand? Similarly, we say here, the space is in this house now. There is space. Everywhere there is space. There is no place where this space is not. Understand? But still we say, as what? All these houses on this road, all the whole Ilford is in space, and every street is in Ilford space, every road in Ilford is in space, and all the houses on every road is in space, and in every house, okay, all the walls remain, stand in space. But we say, okay, space is it divisible? No. Space is one indivisible, partless whole. But what do we say? Kitchen space, drawing room space, bedroom space, bathroom space, puja room space, okay, drawing room space, garden space, car parking space, garage space, we say so many. Are there so many spaces? Space is one. But where do the walls stand? In space. But how do they look? As though they divide the space. The walls, which themselves stand in space, seem to be seen, okay, as though they divide this space. The walls themselves stand in space, but they seem to be dividing the space. Seemingly, they look as if they divide the space. The walls which stand in space can never divide the space. Understand? So, space is one indivisible, partless whole. Similarly, consciousness is one indivisible, partless whole. Undivided, indivisible. Consciousness does not have parts. See, when can something be divided into, divided? The divisibility itself is possible only if it has many parts. That is why our car, our body, anything is what? Many parts put together is one form. Chair means what? You can screw all the legs separately, board separately, back support separately, all many parts. Understand? If an object should have many parts, then it is divisible. Like hands, trunk, head, neck, okay, thighs. Many parts are there. If anything which has many parts, partful, is what? Subject to separation, subject to division. It is divisible. But here, dividing is not possible. It is indivisible. Why? Because it is partless. Can we part this space? We can say, we can make partition inside the room. One big hall is there, and we build a new wall. We divide the, we don't divide the space. We divide the room space. Okay, really speaking, there is no such thing called room space. Also, but still, in for want of words in conversation, we say, what do you say? We divide the room. In fact, can we divide the space? space is indivisible, partless. Space has no many parts, okay, therefore it is indivisible. If it has parts, it is not divisible. If it is divisible, if it has parts, it is no parts, therefore it is indivisible. Is it clear now? Therefore, consciousness also is partless whole. Therefore, it is indivisible. When you say it is indivisible, partless whole, we have to understand consciousness is only one indivisible, partless whole. Therefore, the meaning of the word I, all the I's is one and the same. I, the knower in me, the knower in you, the knower in anybody, the experiencer in everybody, all the beings, the meaning of the word I is equal to consciousness. Is it clear now? That is why we say all are not equal, but all are one. All are not equal, but all are one. All the waves are not equal, not the same. One is small, one is big, one is heavy, one is roaring, one is quiet. But all the waves are only water, one. From the standpoint of the reality. Is it clear now? So last class I taught you one thing, nature of the reality. What is the reality here? Consciousness. What is the nature, swarupam? How can you understand subtlest substance? It is imperceptible. It is, understand, consciousness is imperceptible. Puranangalukku vilangadhu. You can, it is not an, consciousness can never be understood as an object of knowledge. Consciousness has to be understood as the subject of knowledge. Understand, the reality has to be understood as subject of knowledge. And what is the reality? Edhu meipurul. Edhu parampurul. Edhu meipurul. Manikavachar says in Thiruvachakam, Nunukkariya Nunnunarvu. If you know Tamil, you can know this. If you read Shivapuranam in temple every Pradosham, Nunukkariya Nunnunarve, Ennenjil Neengadhan Thaalvaazhga, Ennenjil Neengadhan Thaalvaazhga. No fraction of second, the mind is away from consciousness. In deep sleep state, there is knower. In waking state, there is knower. In waking dream state, there is knower. Because every state is experienced. In every experience, there is an experiencer. Understand? Like every, no wave is ever away from water. No, never is the water away from any of the wave. There is no wave, water, there cannot be wave. Understand, there is no fraction of second consciousness is away, or mind is away from consciousness. Therefore, knower, the experiencer, we only say, consciousness is not the knower, the experiencer, but there is no other experiencer or knower other than consciousness. I told you why knowing is not an action. It's the swarupam. Now you know consciousness is one indivisible, partless whole.